Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. And oftentimes when us preachers get up to preach, we feel this is the sermon that the church needs, right? I guess sometimes we think, well, this is a sermon that might be needed. But this one, I really believe, folks, is something that we battle, and that is a source of more problems in our lives, in our homes, in our church, than we really even realize. And hope as we get into it that God would give the grace that's needed to help me to state things clearly, and that it would help you. Sometimes you think, wow, man, the preacher's just getting up there. He's angry. You switch him off. You know, can I say we do get angry at sin? I don't like sin. Because I know what sin has done in my life. I know what it's done in my home. I know what it does in the lives and homes of other people. I know how it's used to destroy churches. And so when you see a preacher get a little heated and it's over sin, don't turn him off. And this is the tendency, we turn them off and we begin to resent those people who are trying to correct us. And that's going to lead to what we're going to talk about today. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to stick mostly in this portion of Scripture. Might, you know, deviate a little bit of the portions to supplement. But I want to begin here in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Let's pray. Father, it's a weighty subject. I feel incompetent to speak on it. I'm overwhelmed on the subject and how so many of us have fallen prey to this. It's hurting our church, Lord. Pray that you bring, use your word to point out what we need to learn. You bring healing. We can move forward. Lord, I need you tonight, to this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Polio is a virus that can lead to paralysis, breathing problems, and even death. Polio can spread quickly, mainly due to poor hygiene. There's no cure for polio, but it can be prevented through vaccination. In the early 1990s, a real effort was made to try to eradicate polio in the world, and campaigns were launched all over, especially in developing nations. Many of you know I was a missionary to Zambia, and before my first trip to Zambia in 1996, Zambia also launched a campaign against polio. And the campaign was simply entitled this: "Bye-bye, polio." In the schools and on TV, they taught the children to wave and say, "Bye-bye, polio." I can still remember my first trip in 2000. It was still, the evidence of the campaign was still going strong amongst the young people. We go into compounds and little areas and we'd see the children, and they didn't know a lot of English, especially the smaller children, and they'd want to practice their English when they'd see the Mukua. You say, "What's Mukua?" The white man, when he'd come, and they'd say, "Ah," you know, and you'd wave to them, and they'd dust off the old bye-bye polio campaign, and they'd wave, and the little chorus of children in their accent, "Bye-bye polio." It's a pretty good campaign. Allow me to suggest that we launch a campaign in our hearts and homes, in our church, against this spiritual problem called bitterness. It's paralyzing us spiritually. It's killing the relationships in our homes. It's severing parents from their children and children from their parents, husbands and wives, associations with other churches. Bitterness refers to a sharp, biting taste. One of the words that's used to define bitterness is wormwood. It's not a word that we use commonly, but it's a plant which produces a nauseous taste. Bitterness, then, is spiritually, it's a poison. It makes you feel sick, not only in your stomach, but it will make you feel sick in your soul. It's a feeling of disgust that comes upon you and in your heart every time you hear that certain person's name. Or every time the traumatic event that happened to you is rehearsed. You begin to replay it in your mind, and this feeling comes into your heart and into the pit of your stomach. It's bitterness. It must be dealt with, or it'll paralyze your walk with the Lord and paralyze every relationship that you have. I've entitled this message, "Bye-bye, Bitterness." Church, it's time to let go and to deal with it. Deal with it as individuals and realize you are not exempt. You are prone to being bitter more than you even realize. I want to see 3 points. The first one is the root. The Bible refers to this as the root of bitterness. Now, roots are the part of the plant that lay below the surface. When the seed is planted, it begins to grow. You don't see that growth. And then the root is formed. And then suddenly the plant shoots up. We'll talk about the seeds of bitterness. First of all, we're talking about the root, the seeds of bitterness. Unpleasant experience. Those unpleasant experiences are going to happen to every one of us. And they tend to, what it happens is you have an unpleasant experience in your life. It will lead to an unpleasant feeling, which will also produce unpleasant reactions. You do something against me, I don't like it. I'm more likely just to do something against you because I don't like you because you did something to me. It's bitterness. Now listen, get this. You cannot control what happens to you. But you can control how you react to what happens to you. We've like thrown personal responsibility and personal accountability out the window. And we want to blame everybody for all of our problems. Look in the mirror. Perhaps someone has hurt you by what they said, or maybe what they failed to say. Maybe it's what they did to you. It could be your parents, children. Your parents did something or said something that you didn't like, and you become bitter. And you're going to get back at them. Maybe it's a child. Parents, the child does something, and you're angry at them. And you become bitter at your own children because of how they're acting and reacting. You say, "I didn't train them this way." Oh, you didn't train them that way, but they made their choices to go the wrong way, and you're having a hard time with it, and you get bitter and angry, and it's easier to lash out than to try to help them. And your bitterness toward them and their bitterness toward you just feeds off of each other. It reciprocates. We wonder why we have problems. I'm here to suggest this bitterness. This virus spreads so rampantly and so quickly. It might be a parent. It might be a child. It might be a teacher at school. They said this. They did this. They punished me this way. Yeah, do you make mistakes? Might be a pastor. Say, well, you know, it might be a former pastor who hurt you. It might be a current pastor, the lead pastor, an assistant pastor, a youth pastor, a former youth pastor. Well, say, hey, they did this, and they hurt me. They said I couldn't do this, or they came out, they accused me of this, or whatever it is. Can I tell you, I don't know one man who's ever gone into the ministry to purposely hurt people. But because he is a man, he is not perfect, and he will hurt people. I don't know a parent, any parent, who's had children for the sole intent that he could afflict them or hurt them in any way. But because they are human and they have a sin nature, they're going to make mistakes and they're going to hurt you as a child. Don't get bitter. You turn against the very people who love you and want to help you, and you've been holding it and you've been building up all this resentment and anger, and you're ready to do what you want to do and hurt people as much as you can. Might be a pastor, your current one, an assistant. Might be a pastor, a self-appointed pastor who thinks it's his job to get into the business of some other church like ours and write a letter and send to our members. Sow seeds of discontent and discord. Church, don't get bitter. They're wrong. But your wrongness doesn't, them being wrong doesn't justify you being wrong. Might be a friend. They hurt you. You say, well, you don't know what they did to me. I don't. God does. And if you allow these offenses to remain in your heart, they will produce bitterness. We live in a world, let me tell you, it's filled with sinners, including you. Even the people that you love, and the people who love you are going to let you down, but don't become bitter. Refuse to start rehearsing all of the what ifs. What if this didn't happen to me? What if they didn't say this? What if I heard this differently? What if I was only taught this? Or what if I was spared this? What ifs are just going to lead to misery. Get over it. It didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. It's time to move on. So we're talking about the root of bitterness. We see the seeds of bitterness. Something unpleasant happens to you and you let it to begin to fester. And that's where we get to the next thought here. The soil of bitterness. A proud heart. Let me tell you, this is a hotbed for bitterness. And let me tell you, we all have problems with pride. I met someone one time who said, I've never really had a problem with pride. Sadly, his marriage ended in divorce. His children, wow, way off the deep end. Verse 17 tells us, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You see, when you get bitterness, you're going to fail of the grace of God. You're not going to have the grace. What's grace? Grace is that ability, supernatural ability to do the things that you need to do that you can't do on your own. Yes, it's God's favor. But we also know from other scriptures that God gives grace to who? The humble. And when you become proud and selfish and focused on self and everything revolves around how things affect you and what they did to me and all of that. Let me tell you this. You're selfish. You're proud. You're now lacking the grace of God. It says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And when you fail to have the grace of God, that pride is the hotbed. It's like a hothouse. It's like a greenhouse in which you will now make the atmosphere so much more conducive for the growth of bitterness. The seed's been planted. Your proud heart now, you don't like when someone corrects you. You don't like when someone points something up to you. And now the resentment, the bitterness begins to grow. Plants tend to grow best when the soil's rich and with nutrients and the ground is moist with water. That's good for plants. If you want bitterness to grow, all you need to do is feed it. Not with nutrients, but with selfishness. You need to saturate it, not with water, but with floods of negative thinking and critical spirit and fault finding. And the more you dwell on your problems, the easier it is for bitterness to begin to grow. Let me ask you, do you always bring up and rehearse injustices that have been done to you in your mind? Or let me say this. Perceived injustices. A lot of what we think is wrong isn't always even wrong. Children, you think, my parents, they won't let me have this, or they've stopped me from hanging around this friend. You think that is so bad. It might actually be so good. It's a perceived injustice, and you've allowed bitterness to come in, and you've now had the soil conducive for this atmosphere for it to grow. Are you like a lawyer? Let me ask you. Are you like that lawyer who's constantly looking for evidence to build a case against, you know, the person that they're opposing in the lawsuit? Is that you? You're always looking for something that they said, something that they did, and you're just making a list. Yeah, and they said this, and they did this, and this, and this, and you've got this whole list, this whole case history built up against somebody. All I have to do is come and mention that name, and you're ready to rattle it all off. Oh, my parents, this, and they said this, and you do this with your friends, kids. And parents, can I tell you, be careful that you're not doing that with your spouse and with your spouse about your children. And they did this, yeah, and they did this, yeah, and they did this. And now the resentment and the bitterness starts to grow in your heart towards your own children. It's wicked. And it's prevalent. Bad things will happen to you. But you don't have to create an atmosphere in which those troubles can grow into bitterness. So we see the seeds of bitterness, the soil of bitterness, and we see the sprouting of bitterness. The Bible says that it will spring up. Verse 15, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It's going to spring up. When we had a garden, I remember, you know, you plant the seeds, you go out there, water it, and you're hoping everything's going to come. And you know, you go up day after day and nothing. Day after day, nothing. And then eventually, you go out there one day and say, whoa, man, there's growth. And it seems like overnight, boom, the thing shot up, broke through the ground. And some plants would grow quicker than others. And you're like, wow, that's great when it's your tomatoes. That's not great when it's your bitterness. I feel so sad for some. I look out on some hard faces even now. Disgruntled. Bitter. It's written all over the face of some. The seed that we planted in our garden was growing. You just didn't see it. And then finally, eventually, it popped up. And that's like bitterness. It's not going to come up right away. Just grows a little bit. The roots are forming. But when it springs up, it'll be quite evident. Bitterness spreads. Spreads from one sibling to another, one friend to another, one spouse to another. As I mentioned also, it reciprocates. Child bitter at the parent. Parent doesn't like how the child is acting, so they become bitter at the child, and then the child doesn't like the fact that the parents are bitter at them, so then they fight back with more bitterness, and it's horrible. This is in our homes. And it's in our homes because it's in our hearts. And when it becomes in our homes now, it's in our church. It's the root. Secondly, we see the fruit. When you have a root that begins to shoot, it begins to produce fruit. There you go, Tony. Bitterness always leads to other sins. It will be evident. So how do I know if I have bitterness? Well, let's look at a few things that bitterness produces. If you got it, you probably have some bitterness that you're going to have to deal with. First one on the list is resentment. Resentment. So what's resentment? Resentment is similar to anger, but it tends to more remain in the heart than it does to come out in the actions. You say, well, you said bitterness comes out in action. That's coming. We're just starting the first part here. It starts with resentment. It's not outward. It's inward. It's that unpleasant feeling that wells up every time that person's name is mentioned. They've hurt you. Verse 15, we see again, it says, the Bible says, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You know, the first victim of bitterness is you. It troubles you. You're going to be troubled when you allow resentment to fester in your heart. Now, the word trouble here in the passage refers to being annoyed. Don't you like to feel annoyed? Doesn't it just make you feel so good? That's what you're doing to yourself by being bitter. You're having resentment. You just walk around annoyed. Bitterness is self-inflicted emotional pain. And if you're looking for someone to blame for all your problems, can I tell you, you'll find them. But when you find them, it doesn't fix your problems. And further, it doesn't bring relief. In fact, all it's going to do is cause you more pain. It's going to trouble you more. So if someone does something or says something about you, then just go ahead, think about it for a while. Rehearse it. Make the list. Talk to your friends about it. Gossip about it. Just do everything you can, and you'll be more and more troubled, more and more, more annoyed. This is resentment, and it's in a lot of people. It doesn't stop with resentment. It builds, it grows. Next thing we see is rebellion. As bitterness grows, it will hurt you, yes, but it doesn't only hurt you, it hurts others. The Bible clearly says here, many be defiled. Many other people are going to be hurt. Others, that word defiled means contaminated. Your bitter spirit will contaminate and defile other people. Your friends, your siblings, your spouse, your fellow church members. You get bitter and you start talking and you start gossiping and you start venting. It starts to fester in their hearts also, and many are defiled. And then you start building cases against many of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Where does this come from? It doesn't come from God. It comes from our depraved, sinful hearts. And often we justify ourselves, but I am right. But we are so wrong. Bitterness is never permissible. You begin to oppose those you think have hurt you. And you begin to rebel against them. We're living in wokeness. You want to know what wokeness is? It's one word. It's bitterness. Our whole nation is turning woke. That's code word for our whole nation is bitter. Everybody has done something wrong to you. And so you're against everybody. It's division. It's race against race. It's political party against political party. It's this movement against that movement. It's all being woke. No, it's all being bitter. And you resent being told what to do. And so, because you don't like being told, young people, what to do, you're going to find a way to do it anyway. Don't hang around that friend. Because your parents know better. But you hang around that friend anyway, and you get yourself in deep sin. And have got some deep scars. I'm talking to people right now. People in this room who have purposely, knowingly disobeyed their parents. Don't hang around that boy. Don't hang around that girl. Don't hang around them. And you did it anyway. And you get yourself in deep, gross, immoral sin. And you ruin your heart and your life and your future. Because you became bitter toward your parents. You're not going to tell me what to do. And I'm going to do what I want anyway. And you pay for it. And you will pay for it the rest of your life. You say, you shouldn't be so angry. I'm angry because I see the hurt. I've seen the hurt in my family because of bitterness. I've seen the hurt in some of your families. Church, time to launch a campaign. Bye-bye, bitterness. Bye-bye, bitterness. Rebellion. It's one of the fruits. You begin to rebel against those people you thought had hurt you, or if they maybe did hurt you. Child develops a wrong attitude toward his parent. Here's what they think. They might not say it, but this is what they do. I can't have what I want from you. You're not going to get what you want from me. You want me to dress modestly? I'm going to push it. You don't want me to paint my face and my eyes like Jezebel? I'm going to do it anyway. Or as close as I can. Because I don't honor you and I don't respect you. I have bitterness and resentment because you have pointed out something in my life that I don't like you point out. And I am going to do it anyway. Go ahead. Paint yourself like Jezebel. Let everyone know you want to look like a whore. Oh, you're getting bitter right now? Better deal with it. I can't have what I want from you. You're not going to get what you want from me. Look in verse 16 and 17 with me. Lest there be any fornicator. This is right in context of this idea of bitterness. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For we know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Consider Esau. Became bitter against his brother. Because he lost his birthright. You see what it led to? It led to fornication. You say, really? Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator. When you become bitter, you turn into a rebel. And what God says you can't have, you want. And you won't wait for marriage because you want it now. Because you're a rebel. Because you have bitterness. It led to fornication in his life. Young people who become bitter can develop that same attitude as Esau. Here's the attitude. You want me to be pure? I'll be a fornicator. That's the attitude. You want to warn me that I'm looking and dressing the wrong way? Well, I'll go all out then. Because you have bitterness. Bitter people are usually rebellious people. When Esau finally did marry at the age of 40, he married two wives. And they were both Hittite women. You know what that means? They were heathens. And the Bible says that they were a grief of mind to his parents. Do you think he knew that was going to happen? Esau was a fornicator because he was bitter. And then he took it the next step further. When he finally did get married, he married girls that he knew his parents would not approve of and did not approve of and would hurt them. And he did it anyway. Where did this come from? Bitterness. I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get the birthright. You're not going to get what you want. You're not going to get a good daughter-in-law. You're not going to get good godly children. Young people, do you see where this leads to? Adults, parents, do you see where this leads to if we push our children away from us instead of toward us? It's all here right in the Scriptures. What's the fruit? Bitterness, resentment, rebellion. Here's the next one. Revenge. Esau's hatred of his brother grew. And he sold his birthright. Those seeds were planted. They began to take root. Then Jacob stole Esau's blessing. The bitterness came out. Esau hated his brother so much that he developed a plan that he's going to carry out once his father had died. And he said this in Genesis 27, verse 41. Then will I slay my brother. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Where did that come from? Bitterness. Left unchecked. Went further than resentment, went further than rebellion. It went straight toward revenge. And like Esau's bitterness led to wicked intentions, so can yours. I'm going to hurt them. I'm going to destroy them. That pastor in his church is trying to hurt our church, so we're going to do our best to hurt him and his church. No, we're not. Because that's unbiblical. If you allow your bitterness to boil in your heart, you're going to seek revenge and ways to retaliate. Spouse is not getting what they think they need from their spouse, so they said, I'll go find another one. These children, out of spite, want to hurt their parents by doing the absolute opposite of what they've been taught to do. So that's not why I'm doing it. I'm just doing it because I want to, and you just don't understand. You are mocking your parents' upbringing of you. Resentment. Rebellion. Revenge. Rejection. Verse 17. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was what? He was rejected. Get that. He was rejected. You want the blessing? You will be rejected. You want to live the life that you want to live, the way you want to live it, with no regards to what God says, what your parents say. And you want the blessing? You will be rejected. You can't have both. And it ends with a regret. That's the last one on the list, regret. How do we find Esau at the end of our story? Look there in verse 17. But we sought it carefully with what? Tears. This is the end of bitterness. You'll be in tears. You can have what you want, but you'll lose what you have. You think you'll be happy when you get what you want? Stop believing the lie of the devil. This man followed what he wanted. He was in tears. And so will you be. You don't have to be. You can't live a life of bitterness and escape the reaping. You will live with regrets. That's why we need to say, bye-bye bitterness. You're not welcome around here. And I want you in my heart. When I see it start cropping up, I need to deal with it. When it starts coming up in the home, you need to deal with it. The problem is you can't make everybody else in the home do what's right. And that's what breaks our hearts. So we see the root. We've seen some of the fruit. And now it's time to give it the boot. Got to have a little lightheartedness in a message like this. Not much, but there's a little. Because bitterness is so destructive, we need to deal with it. We need to get rid of it. How can we have victory over bitterness? Find the answer in verse 14. Gives us two thoughts. Follow peace with all men and holiness. So first of all, pursue peace. Right? And notice what it says, with all men. You mean that cantankerous? All men. That sibling that gets under my skin? All men. And all women. And all everybody. All men. Follow peace. Pursue it. Whether you want to or not, act peaceably towards everybody, including those people who have hurt you. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, the word blessed means happy. Now, who's the happy one? The peacemaker. Bitter people are miserable. But peacemakers are happy. So, if you want to change your disposition and get the scowl off your face, and you might not want to, but if you want to, let me say, if you don't want to, everybody else wants you to, then be a peacemaker. Take some steps to making things right. Children, let me say, take some steps to making some things right with your parents. But it's all your fault that this happened. It's all your fault that I'm in this situation. It's all your fault you took this away from me. Take some steps to make some peace with your parents. You take steps. You want to be happy? You take steps. Parents, you're not happy, you're disappointed with your children? Take some steps to make peace. But take some steps. I'm not saying you have to tolerate their sin. You can talk to them. You can point it out. I'm not saying you should baby them. I'm not saying you should coddle them. I'm not saying that you should reward them and bless them because they've been bad. I'm saying you take some steps to heal the relationship. But they're the ones that take some steps. They're those. You have bitterness. You need to be a peacemaker. Bitterness usually stems from failing to forgive. So start by forgiving. So I don't want to forgive. The word forgive has the idea of treating the offender as not guilty, but they are guilty. Treat them as though they're not guilty. It involves, the word forgive literally means to send away. I think I've taught and preached this before because the definition hasn't changed, so I'll probably continue to teach and preach it that way. It means to send away. Again, you don't send the person away, you send the offense away. But they've offended. It comes up. Send it away. But they said this about Send. They did this to our church. Send it away. They hurt me. Send it away. It comes up. It's going to spring up. Send it away. Every time. Keep dealing with it. Pursue peace. Forgive. If we truly forgive someone, there's nothing to bring up anymore, is there? There's nothing to be bitter against. And if you want peace, it starts in your own heart. You can't fix everybody else, but you can fix yourself. And Jesus taught that forgiveness must be sincere. He said, from your hearts, forgive. Get rid of the offense. Get it out of your heart. And it's done by prayer. Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive. You have aught against any. Confess that you have bitterness. Say, Lord, I've got bitterness in my heart. Great place to begin. Lord, I've been bitter. Then tell the Lord you forgive that person. And you want that bitterness gone. That's a prayer God's ready to answer. Not only should we forgive, but then we should take it the next step and be kind. Hebrews 4, 31 and 32, we use especially 32 with our little children. It starts there in verse 31, though. Let all bitterness, that's where it starts, let all bitterness, and he's got a whole list of other things, be put away from you with all malice. Let it be put away. That means you've got to allow it to go away. But we want to hang on to it. No, you have to allow it to go away. Then, in verse 32, after you let it go away, he says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Pursue peace and then pursue piety. That's holiness. The verse says right there, that's the second point there. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Instead of allowing your flesh, your wicked, corrupt flesh, dictate how you're going to act and react, yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him produce His fruit in your life. Our responses to ill treatment must be holy, not fleshly. I'm made of flesh like you are. My first reaction is to lash out. But if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit and I want to live a life that doesn't end in tears and be filled with all sorts of horrible things in my heart, I have to let the Holy Spirit rule. God says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Learn to yield to Him. Feed the Spirit through Bible reading and prayer, times of confession, and allow His promptings and His conviction to govern your conduct instead of your reactions. We're all going to experience injustices. Some are real. Some are perceived. They'll be painful. They'll be life-altering. However, we can't allow bitterness to take root in our heart. It's going to hurt ourselves. It's going to hurt others. It's going to defile other people. Think with me right now. Your bitterness, who you've talked to, and what you've done because of it, who has it hurt? Has it hurt your parents? You need to deal with that. You need to get some things sorted out with your parents. Has it hurt your children? You need to talk to your children. Has it hurt a brother and sister in Christ in this church? It's not going away until you deal with it. If we're not careful, bitterness is going to lead to either verbal, physical retaliation. But by God's grace, we can have victory over this. By forgiving our offenders, being kind toward them, pursuing peace, the Holy Spirit will enable us to set aside those fleshly desires. If you want to start putting away bitterness, you can. Are you ready to take that first necessary step? Confess it to God and let it be put away. Are you ready to finally say, bye-bye, bitterness. You're not welcome in my heart. You're not welcome in my home. And you're not welcome in my church. And I'm sorry, Lord, I've let it there. Would you acknowledge this is a problem? And do something today, right now, hit the altar. Pour your heart out to God. Go and talk to someone that you have a problem with and make things right. Blessed, happy are peacemakers. But bitterness and some tears. Let's bow and close our eyes.